More than 700 people have been killed in Lebanon since the war began a month ago, and more than 130 Israelis have died in the conflict. 40% of the Israeli civilians killed and wounded by Hezbollah rocket fire have been Arabs. NPR's Linda Gradstein visited the Israeli Arab town of Nazareth in northern Israel and filed this report.
3 weeks ago, 7-year-old Mahmoud Talouzi and his 4-year-old brother Rabia begged to visit their uncle in a nearby street of the Safafra neighborhood of Nazareth. Their mother, Nuhad, nervous about the war, reluctantly agreed.
Immediately after they left, I heard this big blast. For a moment, I had forgotten the children because I was worried about the children that were with me. Suddenly, I remembered the ones that were outside.
Both boys were killed when a Katyusha rocket landed directly on top of them. Nuhad says the Israeli government failed to prepare the citizens of Nazareth for what might happen in this war.
Nobody has notified the citizens of Nazareth that there might be the possibility of having Katyushas in Nazareth. There was no siren whatsoever. We did not imagine to be involved in this mess.
Nuhad's sister Wafika blames Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert for her nephew's deaths. Even though it was a cross-border raid by Hezbollah and the capture of two Israeli soldiers that sparked the fighting.
Who was sabab al-harb?
Who led it? Who led it?
I blame Olmert totally. He started the war. Yes, for two soldiers he goes and exterminates, eliminates a whole country, destroys a whole country. It is absolutely unfair. There are other ways of solving the situation. There are negotiations.
And Wafika praises Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah, a man seen by most Israeli Jews as a terrorist.
I will give my life. I'll sacrifice my life for Nasrallah. I'll sacrifice my life for Hezbollah and for Arab heritage and for Arabs.
Jewish and Arab Israelis have starkly different attitudes toward the month-long war in Lebanon. Research by Tel Aviv University finds that 93% of Jews in Israel believe the war is justified, as opposed to 17% of Arabs. Adnan Zouabi, the head of the Islamist list in the Nazareth City Council, says the war illustrates the extent of discrimination against Israeli Arabs. Although half of the residents of the Galilee are Arabs, he says, there are no public bomb shelters in any Arab communities except Haifa. He says the war is intensifying already existing divisions between the Jewish and Arab communities here.
All the time, there's these divisions, it's be here in the first day that's come Israel, because they do a country for Jewish and not for all the people.
Shuli Dichter, the co-chairman of Sikui, the Association for the Advancement of Civic Equality in Israel, says the current war has left many Israeli Arabs, who make up about 17% of Israel's population, feeling torn.
Once again, their state, their country, is fighting against their people. Once again, they're exposed to the pictures and the phone calls that are coming from the other side of the border asking for help. Once again, they do not feel part of the general togetherness that is being created in Israel in the past month as a response to war.
An Arab member of Israel's parliament, Jamal Zahalka, accuses the government of suppressing any criticism of the war.
They want everybody to support this war. We will not support this war. We are against this war. This is dirty war.
When Israelis look at the war, he says, they see one picture, the suffering of Israeli civilians. But when Israeli Arabs look, he says, they see the suffering on both sides. Linda Gradstein, NPR News, Nazareth.
There's new information today about the alleged plot to blow up as many as 10 U.S.-bound planes from Britain. Police in the U.K. are now investigating possible links between the suspects arrested this week and the terrorist who carried out the July 7, 2005 bombings in London. NPR's Guy Raz is in London with the latest.
The angry young men in Britain's Pakistani diaspora now face new scrutiny. It is mostly young, British-born Pakistani Muslims who've been implicated in at least 17 alleged terror plots in this country since September 11, 2001. Since that date, British police have arrested more than 1,000 people, the bulk of them of Pakistani origin. In this latest case, it's no different. Most of the suspects in custody are believed to have ties to that South Asian country. At least two of them took recent trips to Pakistan, not unusual necessarily, but those trips may have been related to a man named Rashid Rauf. Rauf is a British citizen who was arrested in Pakistan a few days ago. He happens to be the brother of 22-year-old Taib Rauf, who was one of the 24 people arrested Wednesday night in Britain. Investigators are suggesting that Rauf may have been the ringleader and that the British Muslims who carried out last year's London bombings may have known some of the suspects now in custody. Most of Britain's prominent Muslim organizations took out full-page ads in newspapers on Saturday, insisting that Britain's foreign policy is to blame.
Problem is, these young people sometimes, because of the foreign policy or any other issues, are pulled by fringe elements.
That's Mohammed Abdul Bari, head of the Muslim Council of Britain. He and other community leaders like Mohammed Shafiq of the Ramadan Foundation say unless British foreign policy changes, the country can expect more violence.
Because if we don't deal with these issues now, then I'm sadly having to say now that there are going to be more terrorist attacks in the future.
Muslim leaders say that Britain's involvement in Iraq and Afghanistan and its reluctance to force a Middle East ceasefire fuels rage that manifests itself in terrorism. But British government ministers have rejected that argument. They have called the letter a form of blackmail. Kim Howells is a member of parliament and a senior foreign office official.
No government worth its salt can formulate foreign policy on the basis of a threat that maybe a part of the population won't like and will resort to terrorism. That's absolutely crazy. We live in a democracy and the people have an opportunity during general elections, if they don't like the government, to get rid of it.
The debate is likely to become more heated, especially so long as police are reluctant to release any evidence that implicates those arrested this week. But recent activity by some of those in custody is suspicious. Besides trips to Pakistan, two of those arrested, young men in their 20s, recently purchased a home in East London and paid in full and in cash. Guy Raz, NPR News, London.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.